You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. I'm so excited because we have some amazing founders, some amazing startup brands. But you know what? Almost 7 years in September. Happy May. You guys wouldn't be surprised that we are always finding amazing, inspirational entrepreneurs, right? Speaking of which, we have Erica from Bold and Zeal, honey. But I was going to say live bold because you have to live bold. Erica, welcome to the startup. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. And I'm so thrilled to be here today.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. I'm really loving your brand. I'm loving the way that you move. I like that you have strong business boundaries. I like that you're all in, 6 months new. Why don't we go full screen and you introduce yourself and the listeners to your brand and who you are.
Fabulous. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I am Erica Bazarkanian. I am the CEO and co-founder of Bold and Zeal. We are a lifestyle apparel brand that is rooted in intentional living. We design elevated pieces that are intended to be soft and lived in from day one, but built to last. But what truly defines us is purpose. So we donate 10% of every sale to the Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation to help people living with paralysis. So our real mission is to inspire and enable bold living regardless of your circumstance. So if you wear a Bold and Zeal piece, you're really part of something bigger.
Okay, this is really, really great. I didn't know this about you. So how did you choose your charity of choice?
It actually chose me, honestly. So where Bold and Zeal came from and our connection to our charity is through the loss of my father. He had a tragic spinal cord stroke that left him fully paralyzed from the neck down. And we were fortunate to have 5 months with him. And when he passed, I needed a purpose and a mission. And I researched organizations and came across the amazing Christopher and Dana Reed Foundation that does so much for people living with paralysis. And I chose to run a marathon in my dad's honor and to support those living with paralysis, and found quickly that one marathon wasn't enough. They do so much amazing work. I was so connected to their mission after just the one marathon. I've now run 8 for them, raised almost $225,000 through my own running and creating a team of runners to come along the ride with me. And Bold and Zeal is really an extension of that journey. So I was looking for something that was more enduring when I can't run, tangible, and to really bring more people into this idea of bold living and inspiring others. And so that's where Bold and Zeal came from.
Wow. Okay. So first of all, everybody, can we just, I wish we had a clap emoji for this. Eight races. You're talking to a former track star, but like not long distances. Okay. Like I poop out at 200 meters, but so first of all, my hat goes off because one, I know that feeling, like you get that feeling of you're satisfied and there's a wholeness to it. And then you're like, this isn't enough. I want to do it again. And I love that you're saying that you got purpose from that. Speak to the entrepreneurs out there that are starting brands or have a brand and they want to give a percentage to something meaningful. Speak to that that call. Like, how did you know this was the way? I mean, you shared about your father, which is so, I'm sorry about your father. And speak to how you know when it's the right thing to do.
Like I said, it will find you. Starting a business is not easy. And so you have to have a passion. So my clothing business actually came out of my desire to want to give back more. And so it started through the idea really in 2023, I had to take a break from running. I had an Achilles surgery and I did not realize how much I would miss running for the Reed Foundation. It had become such an important part of my life. And so that was my aha moment of what can I do when I can't run? And I have 30 years of marketing experience. My husband has 30 years of clothing design and manufacturing. So we could really blend those. And my idea was I wanted something that could give back. The business actually came after that. What can we do give back. And it was really the perfect blend of our experience that led to the opportunity.
Yeah, this is really great. I love the marriage of you and your husband together, bringing your expertise to the forefront and forging it together. And I like that the vision pulled you forward in a way that it started from somewhere really beautiful. So sometimes the brand follows the inspiration rather than, yeah. So I love that, you know, and so let's talk about 6 months in the business of Bold and Zeal. Okay. So talk to us about how you got to this space. You've been doing gifting suites and you've got like marketing media blitz with the Real Housewives. We're doing another giveaway. You're really stepping in and you're being bold. What is the conversation within that says, this is for us? Like, how do you know when something's for you?
A lot of it is, it's rooted in 30 years of experience in marketing, public relations, marketing, events, booths, all of that. And then it's also establishing the connections. Community has been huge. Finding your people, those who want to give you advice and you believe in their experience and accept their advice and take the introduction. So the gifting suite, for example, was a phenomenal introduction that I had to Heather Mariana. And when I spoke with her, I said, this is the right opportunity for us. So you have to put a plan in place. Strategy is absolutely critical. But that obviously wasn't in my plan because I didn't know anything about them truly. It was opportunistic. So have a plan and be nimble and be open to opportunities. And so, yes, we are being bold because we want to create a community and a movement, not sell individual items. And so to do that, we need to build that community and bring people into our story. And that's why we're getting out there and doing such things as the gifting suite and podcasts and everything else to really share it.
Beautiful. And shout out to Heather Mariana and the Mariana Group. Thank you so much for the introduction. She does not stop. Like, she reminds me of circa Monique 2022. I mean, I was burning it down and now I'm burnt out. Let's talk about that though. As you scale and you grow, how do you keep yourself from burning out? I mean, you've got so much momentum now and there's so much excitement around the brand. Where do you find balance when you're doing this?
Balance can be challenging, especially at the startup stage. It can be challenging at the startup stage. But you do have to prioritize because you can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. So pick the things that fit the business, fit what your resources are, both human and financial. That's really important. And human, to your point, you can burn out really quickly. So that has to be taken into consideration. And plan it out appropriately so that, yes, realizing you're going to be pushing yourself, but not past a certain limit or you won't be able to keep going. And then find something else to do. So for me, it's running. I do some of my most creative brainstorming when I'm running, me, myself, and I in my head. And that's really important thinking time. And whatever it is for that individual, find that. And yes, there's time in the day to do it. So make time because it's really important to still prioritize yourself throughout everything else.
Okay. Now, you guys, if you are a baby brand, scaling, starting up, concepts of a plan, whatever you're working on, I want you to really listen to Erica's message because this is what it looks like to just go all in and just do it. And I want you to tell us how you came up with Bold and Zeal. I know that you mentioned it a little bit, but where did you get the zeal from? Like, I'm always curious about the names and I'm always curious about the logos and the design and the colors. Yeah. I want to know all of it.
Oh, fabulous. So Bold and Zeal is a family brand, truly. So our name is Baz, Bazarkanian. So we wanted something that represented our family because it's from our family for others, the mission in helping others. So how many names can you do with Z? And we wanted something that was inspirational. We were representing bold living. So Bold and Zeal truly came out of Baz and inspiring others to live bold enthusiastically with zeal. So mm-hmm. that's where that came from. The logo, the mountain, life is a climb. We talk about the Climbers Club for Bold Souls. We want people to join that. And we feel that the logo of the mountain shows that it's a climb, but it's about putting one foot in front of the other. And that's where the logo came from. The colors are just, teal is one of my favorite colors. I love it. But also because we want to do so much work with the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, the teal and the orange blend really nicely. And we think just inspire happiness and gratitude and inspiration. So that's where that came from.
Great, 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 great. All right, let's look at your merch. Can you show us the bag? Talk to us about merch drops. Talk about the shop. What can people look at for the summer? We're looking at summer, everybody, for summer camping trips, for vacations, mountain trips, beach trips. Let's see what you got.
So the Bold and Zeal tote, the Live Bold, this is our smaller canvas tote. It is one of my favorites because I use it for the gym. I use it for groceries, right? I'm in California. There are no plastic bags out there. This is a fabulous reusable tote. It's great for kids' events. This is wonderful for camping, for picnics. We are just launching, actually. This was part of our Mother's Day drop. It's all tagged up, but it is a zippered canvas tote. It is a patchwork repurposed fabric canvas tote that holds so much. And that's also great for summer. This crew neck that I am wearing is about to drop. So this is perfect for summer because it's lightweight. It's nice for those cool evenings and cool mornings. And then we've got the t-shirts for once it's warmer in the day that you are wearing. That is our flagship tee. It's called the Boxy Tee. We have it in three designs and two colors each. My husband sourced the fabric. It is, as you can attest to, super soft, really flattering. And it is that is definitely our flagship product from the tea perspective. So we have a lot out there. They can find us on boldandzeal.com. And actually, today we just launched our Mother's Day special. So it's a really nice time to discover the brand. There's a lot on there. And then with that, you can get the free Bold and Zeal tote is a gift with purchase.
I like that too. I think that it's so like 90s, like fun, rustic. I'm loving the repatched work, the denim vibe. It's really, really on time for me. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. Okay, good. So listen, Erica, we're really excited that you're on the show. Thank you for this. Where can folks support? When's your next marathon? Are you going to have a Bold and Zeal run? I mean, is that?
Well, I'm running New York with Team Reeves. So November 1st, the New York Marathon. It will be my third New York for Team Reeve, but my ninth marathon for Team Reeve. And I'm super excited. They have an amazing group of runners all coming out for the organization. So thank you.
You're a baddie, girl. I did a 5K once, almost died. But hey,
you're a lot faster than I go.
You're my hero. But congratulations on all this. And I want you to check in with us a little later in the year. You guys, Bold and Zeal, get with Erica and the team. Check out what she's got going on. And her Mother's Day drops are going to be hot. So if you're not sure what you're going to get mom, get her something she can use. Get her something that she can repurpose. And fill that bag up with goodies and a lot of love to mom. Bold and Zeal with Erica. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking with you.
My pleasure, Erica. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, you guys. That was Erica from Bold and Zeal. Live bold. Do you guys like my shirt? I'm so excited. I'm going to wear it. I think I'm going to wear it on the plane on my way to Cannes. I have another guest here who's very amazing. Very amazing. Who's awesome. Chris Benke is here. Chris, welcome to the Startup with Monique LeRae. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's an honor. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go full screen. I'm going to let them hear from you. Tell us who you are and what you got going.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for that. My name is Chris Benke, and I have been working as a serial entrepreneur for about 15, 20 years. And over that time, I found something to be true Virtually 100% of the time. And that is that most people believe that they either are going to or already have missed the life that they were supposed to live. They just feel like they're off. They're off target. They're off of where they should be. And we found that to be the case with almost everybody, which is exactly why we created this platform that we have called the Human Nexus, with the profile that's not like, it's not a behavioral, you know, it's not a behavioral test like DISC or StrengthsFinder. It actually goes beneath that. And it's why we wrote the book, Your Divine Blueprint, Unlocking the Life That You Were Meant to Live, really to help people understand who they are at an absolute deep level. And from that, be able to walk out and live the best life that they possibly can. That's really what we've created. It's been an amazing journey so far. We're so excited about kind of where it's going and really looking forward to kind of watching it unfold. That's kind of at the high level, that's kind of where we're at.
Yes. Thank you for the 30,000 footer, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, here's what's interesting. I think this is really in alignment with some of the things, some of the work I've been doing, and a lot of people, like post-COVID, I know that's a dirty word for a lot of people, but
sure.
It was a time capsule project for me. It wasn't about anything mm-hmm. but the human condition. And so when we look at the endemic and we have people looking at their lives in that time,
yeah,
you are on to something. And now we've got a lot of other, you know, socio-economical things going on around the world.
Yeah.
And here yes. at home, you know, no matter where you sit, it affects us all. So I love that you're looking at this. Is that why folks are having less satisfaction? Did you do this pre-COVID, post-COVID, during?
We've been building the assessment and a lot of these tools for almost 16 years. But I think what's changed is people had a lot of reflection time. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of reflection time kind of in isolation, which is not amazing, but it also is amazing for reflection time. And I think that one of the gifts, I think there's a couple gifts that we were given from the pandemic. Mostly, it, as everybody knows, it was mostly horrible, but there was some amazing things that came out of it. And one of those was it kind of forced people to take a hard look. It's not, nothing has changed to a large degree. Like, for example, the Barna Group and the Gallup have been doing these kind of studies for 50, 60 years. And what they found very consistently is that between 79 to 81, 82% of people are either disengaged or highly disengaged with their work. So if you have 8 out of 10 people that are disengaged with their work, and it's been that way for 50 years, it's not a new problem. It's not a new problem. But the gift that we got from the pandemic was, one of them was, we were kind of forced to look at it, honestly. Like, you know, instead of just life going as normal, we kind of were like, okay, like what's really happening? And I think that awareness is amazing. It's hard, it was painful, but I think that awareness is amazing because now people are less likely, I think, to be okay with mediocre, and they want to actually figure out, well, what is my life supposed to be? How am I supposed to walk it out? And because of that, we see a lot of people wanting to kind of learn about that. And it's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah.
So we're going back 50 years. And I like that you are, you know, it did highlight, it did kind of hold a spotlight to who you are right now. What does it look like? Like, if, God forbid, someone or you know, or you are at risk of dying of this thing, you know, whether or not, wherever you sit, if there is this thing that could be a threat, am I happy, right? Because we saw a lot of quiet quitting. We saw a lot of divorces happening because some of those marriages worked when someone was out of the house 50% of the time or whatever the case may be. We saw a lot of people getting married. We saw a lot of pandemic babies. We saw so many people stepping into that. Talk to us about your divine, I want to hear about your divine blueprint and how folks can recognize where they need to be, where they are, and where they might be going.
Yeah. So the book is called Your Divine Blueprint, Unlocking the Life You Were Meant to Live. So the book is basically a powerful framework where we walk people through not just understanding kind of the way that they're wired, but also understanding, well, how do I apply that to my life? How do I bring my life into alignment with the way that I'm wired in a way where I actually feel like I'm doing meaningful work in a way that is in alignment with who I am. Basically giving people permission to be who they are. People don't have permission to be who they are. They a lot of times, they, especially with the way that social media is today, they see a life online and they're looking at their phone and they're like, oh, that's the life that I'm supposed to have. But it's not, I mean, you can learn good things from people, that's great. But when you try to become them because you believe that's the model that you're supposed to have, that's when things get out of alignment. So the book is called Your Divine Blueprint. And then what goes along with the book is an assessment called the Nexus Profile. It only takes 15 minutes. You can actually take that for free. If you go to thehumannexus.com, you can take the assessment for free. And what it does in 15 minutes is it unlocks what we call the innate unchanging motivational drivers of how someone's wired, which is different than personality. If you look at how someone behaves, it may or may not be in alignment with who they actually are, how they're wired. Here's an example. Let's say if you and I are at lunch and I spill my lunch on myself. The way these personality assessments work is they'll ask you, what do you do about it? You can tell I'm embarrassed. So do you try to make me feel better because you can tell my face is turning red, you can tell I'm embarrassed? Or do you start to clean up? Or do you get the waiter to come over and clean up? Like, what do you do? And you'll answer. And that's useful information because how you answer may be exactly how you'd behave. So maybe you'd answer, well, I would immediately get somebody to come over and start cleaning up the mess. Because what we learned in our house growing up was you get somebody to help, you start cleaning up the mess. But maybe how you're wired is you can tell I'm embarrassed and you don't like that. So you actually want to console me and you want to say, hey, it's all right. Everybody spills their lunch sometime. Like the way you're wired is to comfort somebody you can tell is in a stressful situation. But what you learned was the right answer was cleaning up. Wow. So what the Nexus does is it kind of goes below all of that. And it actually quantifies how you're wired.
Let's pause for a minute, Chris. Sorry to interrupt
you. Yeah.
I can tell you're passionate about this, and I'm intrigued. You're about to go real deep, I have a feeling. So buckle up, entrepreneurs, because I think you're going to link this into how entrepreneurs function, right?
Yeah. So when you function according to something you're good at, it may or may not be how you're wired. So you can learn to be good at a lot of things that will burn you out long term. So when you think about how do you apply this to an entrepreneur, I've walked this out in my own life a lot of times. You got to have grit. You got to have tenacity. You got to work. You got to just do the grind. That's part of entrepreneurship. And that's necessary. And there's all kinds of parts of starting a company or being part of an organization that are hard, that aren't in perfect alignment with you. But when you don't understand how you're actually wired and how those two connect, you will inevitably create a scenario where you'll be burned out. Well, you just simply won't care anymore about the organization, or you'll get to the point where you actually resent the work itself. Wow. So if you step back from that right at the beginning, and you understand that about yourself, you can then create the kind of life and organization that supports it. Doesn't mean it's not hard stuff. Doesn't mean there's not, you know, things that are difficult that aren't in perfect alignment. I mean, there's still a lot of things that are difficult and unpleasant. But now you're walking them out with an awareness of this, and you can do so in a way where you remain true to who you actually are. You're giving yourself permission to be who you are. This allows a startup, you know, an entrepreneur to actually stay the course long enough. Because we all know the biggest reason most things fail is because we don't have the tenacity to stay long enough through all of the things we couldn't have seen coming that are tough, right?
Ooh, that is the truth. I got to say, it almost feels like you have a case study or a platform for identifying avoidance, if you will, if that's even a proper sentence, to avoiding self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think you're at something here.
Yes, absolutely. So what happens is, this will happen 100% of the time. If you do something out of alignment with the way you're designed long enough, you'll either redesign the thing, which sometimes is good, but usually it's not. You'll either redesign it, you'll develop a resentment and burnout towards it, or you'll leave. This is true for the entrepreneur about their own organization. But even a step above that, which is even more important, is understanding this about the team that you put around you. So if you put the team around you that's not just like you, but is the right team according to how they're wired to fit in with what is needed in your organization, then you have this kind of incredible opportunity where people are actually functioning according to their own wiring, the way that they're designed in roles that line up with it. Everybody likes to quote Jim Collins, and he said, you got to get the right people on the bus in the book, Good to Great. It's just, it's like all entrepreneurs love that. Sounds amazing. It's not wrong, but getting the right person on the bus is only part of the equation. You have to get them in the right seat, because there's a lot of people that are amazing, but if they're in the wrong seat, eventually they'll burn out, or they'll redesign the seat to fit them, which also isn't necessarily good.
No, it's not. It's going to cause C-suite issues. I mean, you know, it's kind of reinventing the culture from within. And so I like the intentional guidance here. What companies would benefit from this, right? There's a lot of HR, there's a lot of companies that could benefit from this kind of thing. And where are you going with this for bigger companies?
Yeah. So basically, one of the things that's amazing for a startup is picking the right founder and co-founder, right? Mm-hmm. So in a venture funded startup, a lot of times the VC will come in and say, amazing, I love your idea. It's awesome. I believe in it. I'm going to pick a co-founder to go with you, whether you like it or not, because I have the money. And so the VC comes in and kind of does that. With our set of tools, they are now much more equipped to understand, who is this founder? What? How are they wired? What do they need? What complements them so that these two people aren't exactly the same, but they actually complement each other and have the right strengths according to what the organization actually needs at its, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. You can extrapolate that all the way to a company that's been around for 100 years. The same problem still exists, which is why we developed what we call the perfect team hiring system. So we have a whole system around this, which we don't have time to talk about today. But essentially, if you can understand the role, Not a job description. Job description is worthless. The actual role, what it takes to do the role. And you align that role to motivational drivers of a person. And you only interview the people that are wired to thrive in that role. You flip that Gallup poll around. You flip that around from 80% of people being disengaged to 80% of people being engaged. And there's no competition in your space, in your vertical, that can compete if you have 80% of your people highly engaged in your organization. It turns culture around, turns productivity around, turns sales around, everything turns around. It's incredible. Wow.
This is really dynamic, because I'm excited about it, because you're the churn is down, the quiet quitting is down, you're saving so much capital and time and energy and headhunting and all that bullshit, excuse my French. But
exactly.
It's out the door now, and you can really get to the heart of this brand and the building. And where did you start? We have a couple minutes left. Maybe we're going to have Chris back, because this is a deeper, I want to do a deeper dive, Chris. How did you get here? I know you have a story.
There's a long story. There's a long, long story, which we don't have time for today. But the 1 minute version is about 18 years ago, we were doing consulting and we were helping organizations with the kind of some of these problems. And there was, you know, StrengthsFinder, DISC, Myers-Briggs, all of these assessments that are out there, and they're useful. I don't want to say they're not useful, but they were all kind of quantifying how people behave, which is useful, but that's different than how they're wired. Yeah. When you look at how someone's wired, that's what gives you the longevity. That's what helps someone walk out in a role, what is in alignment with how they're wired, who they are. So they don't burn out. There's people that can be amazing at something. Like, for example, I call it the school teacher dilemma. My wife and I personally know 6 school teachers that went all the way through, got their degree, got in the classroom, and all 6 of them are no longer school teachers, because once they did a couple of years, they're like, man, this drains me. I thought I would like it. I don't like it. So they're good at it. Good at it is not the same as wired to thrive in the role. But when those things are in alignment, it's incredible. And all that stuff unlocks. It's amazing to watch how this happens inside companies. And I feel like, especially as we look at Gen Z, their tolerance for doing inauthentic things is pretty much zero.
Yeah.
You know, Gen X boomer, they're like, I just got it. This is just what I got to do. This is just what I got to do to get the house and the car and the dog and stuff. Yeah. Gen Z, no. They want authenticity that is in alignment with who they are. And by the way, they should. That's the right answer. That's the right answer. And so we help companies and individuals and couples and people in relationships. We help them work at an understanding of knowing that so they can actually walk out the life that they were meant to live. That's really what at the core, that's the work that we do.
You're doing the right work. I think that this is really, really intriguing, and being wired to do something long-term and living your most authentic aligned life is his goals. So Chris,
amazing.
Is amazing. Plug where folks can find you. I'm sure your Calendly is booked and busy. Where can we find you and where can we consult?
Yeah, best place to find me is to go to thehumannexus.com, thehumannexus.com. And then on there, you can take the Nexus profile for free. And then you can also get my book for almost free. It costs about $20 to print and ship them. It's legit. It's a legit book. But right now, if you pay $8, it costs about $20. If you pay $8, we'll send you one of these. It's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and Audible and all the places. But inside this, there's also a bunch of free resources also. So this is kind of a good way to find it also. You get on Amazon and Audible and stuff. And then once you take that Nexus, man, that starts to unlock everything. And it only takes 15 minutes to go through it. It's very powerful.
Thank you for sharing this, Chris. I think you're really onto something. I'm sure I'm going to see you on TED Talks and all the things.
Thank you.
What a shot in the arm on a Sunday, and what a great way to start our next week. I can't wait to have you back. And I'm going to take that test because I have a feeling I'm going to learn some stuff about myself that I didn't know. Thank you for the work you do, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been an honor. Awesome.
My pleasure, dear. All right, Chris Benke. Wow, that was a dynamic. Speaking of knowing and aligning and all those things, Christine Marie, the Knowing Agency is here. You guys, she's back. Christine Marie, welcome,
Monique. You are just one of a kind. I don't think I know anyone quite like you, Monique. You are just such a gift to this world. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
Oh, my God. From an angel, darling. I will take all that. You know, it takes one to be knowing. Thank you for being here with that sunshine. Why don't we go full screen, reintroduce yourself to the listeners and viewers. Take all the time you need for the intro.
Y'all, thank you so much for joining our friend Monique and for having me. I am so thrilled to be here. My name is Christine Marie. I am the founder of Knowing, which is an up-and-coming movement all surrounding knowing who you are. And that translates into not just our own personal selves, but into our businesses, into the way we show up as parents, into the way we show up as leaders, into our communities and beyond. And so really the goal of Knowing is that we take time every single day to reflect on who was I created to be in the first place and effectively be internally sourced. You know, I like the concept of, you know, if we have something that needs to be hooked up to an electrical socket, we can sometimes kind of wander around with our plug and wonder who we can hook up to be sourced, whether it's sourced with joy or with meaning, value, peace, whatever it is that we're looking for, we can so often look externally. And so with Knowing, this concept is that we actually know who we are. We are so secure in and of ourselves that we are internally sourced, and thus we can give to other people from our overflow. And y'all, this works on a personal level and a professional level. So it actually started for me in a business sense where I was working with companies to know who you are as a brand and know who your customer is and bridge the gap through the marketing endeavors that we would put forth. And then slowly as I started to turn inward and use this process, the Knowing process, as a mirror for me to recognize, well, what are my values? What is my mission? What am I called to do as an individual? All of a sudden, my internal world started to really, really shift from being sourced outward to being sourced from within. And ever since then, my life has just been continuously transforming as a result of it. And I am so incredibly grateful for where I am today.
Yes. Okay, good. So you guys, if you don't know Miss Christine, you are sleeping. She is consistent. She shows up. It comes from within. And every time I see you graze my LinkedIn feed, I'm like, there she is. And, you know, all your posts are so thoughtful. And I'm like, where does this girl get the time? Because you, but it feels like you said, it's coming from the inside out. So I guess you find the time when you're, when it's natural and it feels right. Talk to me about your process and how you've scaled this business. And I've seen a lot of your invites and your beautiful retreats that I haven't yet been able to come to, but thank you for including me. And I will show up in the human form there soon. But how do you turn down that noise of like, I don't have enough time to do this and curate something so consistent and thoughtful? Because you're very good at that.
Thank you. Monique, I came up with this concept 2 or 3 years ago, vertical alignment. And what I realized is that I had lived so horizontally aligned, again, kind of going back to that concept of we're looking around for someone to source us.
Yeah.
And I realized that, I guess, kind of like to use a compass analogy, my compass was navigating east and west. I was so focused and reactive in the way that I lived to what other people wanted and other people needed, that this concept of reorienting and navigating north based on vertical alignment rather than horizontal, man, that shifted everything. And now the vertical alignment is the very first thing I start my day with. That's the very first thing that I actually prioritize is, okay, let me actually fill my own cup. I saw this. I was actually partnering with my client, and we were doing this event for Amazon a couple years ago. And I was sitting in the back of the room watching Lisa Nicholson give a keynote on stage. And she had...
Oh, she's great. Lisa Nichols is great.
Man, she's so powerful. And I watched this analogy. She has a glass and she has a basin below and she's pouring water into it and she holds it up. And she says, y'all, so many of you will give from a half full cup. And then she pours and pours and then she holds it up and now it's filled. And she says...
Oh, we got a little static there, but Christine is on to something, and I'm sure that the Wi-Fi will correct itself. But if you haven't followed us yet, follow us on Instagram at The Startup with Monique LaRay. And I think Miss Christine is back. You're serving tea, Christine. And you know, the Wi-Fi gods were like kind of trying to block you, girl.
That's when you know you're on to a good conversation.
let's pick it back up. You're watching Lisa Nichols give a visual orientation, if you will, an example.
Yes. She's filling up the cup half full, says those of you will give from a half full cup, fills it all the way up. She says others of you will give from a full cup. Mm. And then she pours until the basin is pretty full below. And she holds up the glass and she says, y'all, this cup is for you. Your entire cup is just yours. That is your resource. That is for you. And then the reservoir of everything underneath is for everyone else. Wow. So to give from our overflow. Mm. And that changes everything, Monique. I had been living my entire life effectively from a place of depletion, and I had no idea because I was giving from a half full, maybe sometimes a full cup. But man, that is for us. And the thing about that is that we are able to lead in a much more scalable and sustainable way when we are making sure that we're sourced from within, that we take that time every single morning to, I call it my vertical alignment practice. You know, it's based on the principle of bringing every part of me into that alignment over who was I created to be? What am I called to do? What are my values? Honestly, who does God say I am? Because let's be real.
It's Sunday. Let's have church.
We were created very uniquely. So if I am sourcing my value and my worth from everyone around me, I'm actually not going to be able to operate as the individual that I was created to be.
That's right. And you won't be able to ever please anything or get anything done based on someone else's, because that marker always moves now, doesn't it?
It always moves.
You, good luck. Might as well forget that one. Don't even try.
You know? Don't even try. It is so true. And it's really discouraging, you know? Yeah. And we walk around kind of with our head hanging and like, man, I can never do enough.
Wow.
From that place, you know? Yeah. And so when we're really taking the time every morning to remind ourselves of who we are, whose we are, and why we're here, man, those three are like, okay, I've got the power now to move through the day. And when we do that on an everyday level, you know, I've got this battery charger here. This is like my power brick for charging my phone. But the thing about this is that it starts out at 100% and it dwindles down for every hour of use. Same goes with us. So by the end of the day, we're actually pretty low and maybe even on empty. And so this time in the morning is so important to recharge so that I'm not bringing the stuff from yesterday that maybe is still hanging on into today. Because what happens is that it has a compounding effect. Everything from the past that has not been moved through, dealt with, addressed, healed from, we have a compounding interest effect. And y'all, this is why it's not just on the personal level, but the business level too. Those conflicts, those moments where we haven't really ensured that everyone's on the same page. Mm. Everyone now is kind of operating out of alignment with each other. And two rocket ships starting off from the same point look like they're going in the right direction. But if one is even slightly a degree off, all of a sudden you end up going like that. And so it is so incredibly important that we are in alignment for ourselves on an individual personal level, but that we're also so incredibly clear about the target of where we're going as a business so that everyone knows what does alignment look like and what does out of alignment look like.
Wow. So much growth, so much information from the last time we spoke, even though before we, when we spoke, it was so dynamic. I just remember you being one of my favorite guests. And I'm like, that Christine Marie, I need her, darn it. Where is she? You know, and we talked on the phone and you just have been so warm. Also want to say welcome to the West Coast. We don't have to disclose where you are, but welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, I know you started in the East where the crab cakes live, but welcome to the West. And
thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And I love your transparency on your LinkedIn and everywhere that you show up. And what you just shared is really important. Let me just share, you guys, what Christine, I'll give you a personal example of what Christine has just described when you're not aligned and you're going into your workday. I have been, boy, last year really almost took me out. I got to tell you, many different levels, and we can go deep dive later. You can look at my personal Instagram and surmise what that might have been. But I don't want to give energy to that. But I will say how it showed up when I knew I was burnt out every day, getting up and coming to my home office. I didn't hit the shower. I put my clothes on and jumped into work. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's 2 o'clock. I haven't eaten. I didn't shower. I mean, I shower every day. Don't get it twisted, everybody. But it was, I was putting my needs of just getting myself ready and, you know, preparing my body and having that quiet time till later. I put all the needs of my clients, all the needs of the outward world ahead. And I knew I was off kilter. And I started to shift that. And I go, I've got to get myself together first. You know, like no calls before this time. Saturday is mental health day. No phone calls. I'm not talking to one human on the phone unless it's an absolute emergency and I have to help them. The world will still turn. And I just gave myself permission to do that. So that was a knowing for me. Something told me, I had a download. I was like, girl, no talking, no talking.
Yes.
I put myself on punishment, Christine. That's how bad I got.
I am so, I love that concept, even of the discipline factor. You know, Jocko Willink, who is a former US Marine, he said, you know, discipline equates to freedom. And it really, really does, because man, if we're disciplined enough to fill ourself and take care of ourselves and to have the habits in place necessary to do so, now we're free to engage with people in relationships, free to engage with work, and people can have a bad day and it's okay because we're good. And and I never could operate that way, Monique.
If really?
No, man, I was very, very codependent.
No, and so, okay, I love when we talk because we always do a cool deep dive here. And it has to come from one, and one is our childhood, right? Like, we're not here to bash who helped us come up, but the things we picked up, those things along the way, this is almost like a knowing and a twisting and a readjusting of those habits, right? Did you see some of that show up when you say I was codependent? Did any of that draw from how you were brought up? Where did that come from?
Yeah, well, it was so funny because I think that definitions of words really, really matter.
Yeah.
And so the way that we were raised had a definition of love and peace that today I actually define those words differently. Okay. Now, I could not love my parents more. I am so, I just adore them. And there's now some opportunity where I get to love on them now. They took such good care of us in childhood, and now we kind of get to love on them and dote on them and be like, hey, I'm learning this stuff. Yeah. And then they're able to benefit from that. And I think that's the beauty of the cycle of life.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Right. Really and cool. So that concept of love is not just hiding the truth.
Yeah.
It's not the peace in exchange for comfort, but rather how does comfort and love and or peace and love actually allow for us to still have truth be of value? And all three of those can coexist, peace, love, and truth, rather than one having to replace the other or kind of squelch it out. And so the way that that could have manifested is that if somebody was having a bad day as kids, it would be like, everybody needs to stop and pause until that person is back to where we all are emotionally. So if you were having a bad day, there was an element of, there just wasn't any opportunity or understanding of how to process that negative emotion. So it was like, just stop having it rather than this is actually an emotion just like joy is, and how do we engage with emotions and what is a good way to process something that's hard rather than just suppressing it or just stopping it because we're not robots. And so the way codependence showed up for me was based off of a narrative that was told to me. And a lot of times narratives of what we speak to our children or what was spoken to us are actually the very thing that kind of starts an experience. It kind of catalyzes the experience that then solidifies a belief system about the world. But a lot of times it starts with a narrative.
Yeah. So
when I was 4 years old, my mom told me that my grandma had this like word from God about the fact that I would be like Mother Teresa to our family.
Huh.
That is a very high calling for.
That's a lot of weight. That is a, my shoulders feel heavy for you, Christine. Oh my gosh.
You know, I'm 4 years old hearing this and I'm like, who's Mother Teresa? And then I find out she's basically perfect. And so then anytime any one of my siblings even got hurt, like banging their shoulder or like physically like falling and skinning their knee, it was my fault. You know, I wasn't enabling this peace and love and, you know, this kind of tranquility in our household. And so it was very odd and very controlling. And it was coming from, I think, a good place. You know, it was like, oh, well, I love them, so I need to keep them safe and protect them. But then it, you know, cascaded into if they had a negative emotion, it's like, okay, what can I possibly do to make that negative emotion go away? Much less so for me, if I'm having a negative emotion, I just need to kind of stamp it out. So
I didn't see it going that way. I'm sorry to interrupt. I thought it was going to go as like, oh, okay, your mother treats you, so you're making cookies and putting smiley faces on lunches. I didn't know that if someone was having a bad day that you had to take that on. I didn't see it going that way.
Yeah. Well, it was, let's go make the cookies and make their day better. So the way, Monique, that showed up was that when I was married, my husband, anytime he had a problem, I took responsibility for it. Whether he had a problem with anyone else, any time of day, anything, I was like, what do I need to do to fix it?
Oh, no. That's not good.
No. It's not good.
Hence the knowing agency has launched.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And you know, so far from that, though.
I've come so far from that, but it took me looking in the mirror and taking radical responsibility for me first, because otherwise, y'all, if we try to love other people, if we try to tend to them, if we try to make their lives pure and free from pain, one, we can't do that. Yeah. And two, it's like the sick healing that's trying to heal the sick.
Yeah.
I had never looked in the mirror for myself. So how in the world could I look and try to help other people find that inner state of peace, joy, and love if I was just finding my own meaning by helping them? Hmm. In one sense, the codependent is perhaps the most selfish, because we are assigning our worth by way of someone else's satiation with us. But we're doing it all in the name of something very like sacrificial.
Wow. This is deep, you guys. Listen, let's pause right here, because Christine Marie has some amazing things coming. And you know, when we get to talking, it's almost like an old friend. I never see you, but when I see you, we're back at square one and we're having a great time. I want you to come back. We're going to dedicate a full show to Miss Christine Marie. Let's tease the people. what you have coming. On that note, we're going to go back to that when I speak to you again, Christine, if you're okay with it. What are you cooking in the Knowing Agency's kitchen?
We are cooking the Knowing book.
What?
Very exciting.
Oh, pew, pew, pew. We don't have, dang it, Sam, I need some effects. It's a startup exclusive, everybody. You've got a book, Christine.
Yes, I am so, so, so excited about this book, Monique. And I'm really excited, too, because I am going to have, starting in July, I'm going to have a whole, like, early readers tribe for the book launch that's going to be happening in August.
I want to be in it. I want to be in it if I have time.
Oh man, this book feels like my heart song in so many ways. You know, it took me a number of years to write it. You know, it was not written with AI, and it was written as a result of looking in the mirror for the first time. Mm-hmm. And man, I just, if there's one thing that I could encourage everyone to walk away with, it's take time every day to just write something down that's from your heart, that's from inside, you know, take a moment.
So congratulations. Oh, we have sound effects. Thanks, Sam. Ask and you shall receive, everybody. Thank you, Sam.
That was epic.
Christine, let's pause there. I love a good cliffhanger, darling. We're out of time today. You guys, The Knowing Agency with Christine Marie. You can find her on LinkedIn all the time with amazing, inspirational, beautiful content. Christine, you're one of my favorite people that's ever been on my show. Thank you for making time today. Mm-hmm. And check her out on her podcast as well. We will be back with Christine. Thank you for being here, Christine.
I just love you, Monique.
I just love you, too. You're a beautiful angel. And you're my Mother Teresa of entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay.
You know what, guys? What will you start today? Sam, thank you for that. We'll see you next week and get into the knowing. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.